Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied richly to you from God our Father, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Today's second reading that Anne read for us earlier begins with these words. Brothers and sisters, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourselves, but you lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. This is our text. Picture yourself driving over the mountains at dusk. You come over a hill and you go around a curve, and suddenly there in front of you, you see a car that has slid off the road in the ditch. Smoke is coming from the hood and you see people inside the car. What do you do? You do the only thing you can do. You stop and you rush down there to render whatever assistance you are able to give to them. No decent person, Christian or non-Christian, could ever just drive by leaving people in the ditch like that. Now let me change the image a bit. What do you do specifically as a Christian when you see a fellow believer, a brother or sister in Christ, who has slid, not into a physical ditch, but who has slid into a sin? Do we stop and offer them our assistance? Or do we just pass by, ignoring them, maybe even pretending that we aren't even aware of their sin, maybe even pretending that we don't even know them? Is because there's always a danger of Christians doing that very thing. The site Paul concludes his letter to the Galatians by calling upon us to carry each other's burdens, and in so doing, to fulfill the law of Christ. See, Paul begins this final chapter of the great letter to the Galatians by saying, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. That phrase, caught in a transgression or caught in a sin, doesn't really mean that someone, for example, is caught stealing or they finally caught the thief, but it really means someone is caught up in a sin. They have been taken over by that sin, caught up in it, ensnared or trapped by a sin. The original Greek word here contains the image of someone who has fallen off the side of the road, like a car sliding off the road and ending up in the ditch. St. Paul is speaking here of somebody who has slid into a sin. Sometimes people make a distinction between big sins and little sins. Oh, it was only a little lie that I told. It didn't really mean much. I recently saw a posting on a Christian website on the internet that had the title, "Is cursing really that big of a sin?" Well, I suppose cursing at someone isn't as bad when you're angry at them as taking out a gun and shooting them. But in the eyes of God, there is no distinction between big sins and little sins. All sins are transgressions against the law of God. But the Bible does make a distinction between intentional, deliberate sins and those sins of weakness that people just sort of slide into. Our courts do the very same thing. First degree premeditated murder deserves a harsher punishment than manslaughter. But Paul here is not speaking about the premeditated intentional sins that we do. Sins that are a definite fall from grace. He's really speaking here in chapter 6 of Galatians about those sins of weakness that people just kind of slide into. Sins that cause believers to slip into the ditch spiritually. We all know people who this has happened to. And I suppose if we're honest with ourselves, we can, every one of us, find times in our lives when that very thing has happened to us. I enjoy watching the Masterpiece Mystery shows on Sunday nights on PBS. The latest series is Endeavor Morse, a takeoff on the old Inspector Morse series, only Endeavor Morse shows him as a young police officer. In British jargon, a DS, Detective Sergeant. In last week's program, Morse Inspector, Detective Inspector Thursday, who has been Morris's mentor for the past three seasons, a man who Morris looks up to with great admiration, an honorable man. Last week's episode, he took a bribe. And Morris was shocked when he discovered what this policeman, who he had so much honor and respect for, had done. And the very last scene of last week's show, it shows Inspector Morse looking through a window and seeing his idol, Detective Inspector Thursday, drinking and gambling with all the crooked cops in the station. To be continued tonight at 9 o'clock. Even if you're contemplating suicide at 9 o'clock, do not call me till 10:30, and then I'll be glad to talk with you because I've got to find out what happens. We know that this kind of sin that Paul is speaking of here is something any one of us can slide into. If anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. And the word that's the Greek word for restore is a word that's used to, it's a medical term to describe a doctor setting a broken bone. If a bone is broken, the orthopedic doctor will carefully put the two pieces together and very slowly and painstakingly make they are exactly where they should be. And then he will put a splint or a cast around it so it can heal. He restores the broken bone so that it can be made whole again without any lasting effects. St. Paul's call to you and me here in this text is that we who are spiritual should restore someone who has slid into the ditch of sin. But we should do this gently. Saying broken bones requires a great deal of skill and patience on the part of the orthopedic doctors. And restoring the broken lives of people who have slid into a ditch spiritually also requires a great deal of skill and calm and patience of the spiritual person trying to restore them. A harsh approach, spewing out words of judgment, speaking with anger in your voice, really does nothing to help that person who has slid into the spiritual ditch. What is needed, Paul says, is a spirit of gentleness. He wasn't just speaking theoretically here, for he had dealt with such a situation himself in the two letters he wrote to the Christian church in the city of Corinth. In 1 Corinthians, he wrote to the congregation and said that they cannot tolerate a member of their congregation who was living in open sexual sin. He was living with his father's wife. Evidently, his older father had married a younger woman, and who knows what kind of condition the father was in, and now the son is living with this woman. Paul says to the people of congregation that they need to expel that sinner from their midst so that he will recognize the seriousness of the sin he is committing and be led to repentance. Sometime later, Paul wrote his second letter to the Corinthians. By this time, that man had repented of his sin, but now the good church people in the congregation were refusing to allow him back into the church, even after he repented. And so in 2 Corinthians, Paul writes to them, "Now you ought to forgive and comfort him so that he will not be overwhelmed by excessive sorrow." Back now to Paul's letter to the Galatians, today's text. Paul has one more word of warning. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. About 300 years after Paul wrote these words, an early church father in northern Africa named Augustine, Saint Augustine, wrote, "There is no sin which one person has committed that another person may not commit also." I remember a few years ago when the news broke about the TV evangelists who were guilty of sexual sins and of skimming money off the money that was sent off and using it for their own luxurious lifestyles. How many pastors, including me, were judgmental against those dirty, rotten TV evangelists. But no minister is so spiritually strong that they are immune from those or similar sins if the situation presents itself, if the conditions in their lives are such that they are vulnerable to such a sin. St. Paul is well aware of how powerful our sinful nature is, even in the most spiritual of people. And that's why he gives us this warning here, a warning that I believe applies particularly to good members of the church. He warns us not to be so judgmental or merciless toward others who may get caught up in a sin that we forget. That person fell into sin today. I may fall into a similar sin tomorrow. Then Paul sums it all up by saying, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Jesus did not come as a new lawgiver the way Moses did, who had already given the law of God to the people of Israel centuries earlier. Now Jesus says the whole law is summarized in one word, love. We all know Jesus' great commission, go and make disciples of all nations. But do we equally know his great commandment? Love one another. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You are to love one another. Christ's call to follow him is the call to love one another. And loving other people means to be willing to share the burden and carry the load of the one you love. A few years ago, the wife of a classmate of mine, a good friend in college and seminary days, died after a long battle with Parkinson's disease. I phoned him to express my condolences to him. And in the course of our conversation, he said to me, although I never would have asked for it, caring for Marianne these past years has been the greatest blessing of my entire life. What others might have seen as a burden, he saw as a blessing, one of the greatest blessings of his life. Not many men or women could walk around carrying a 15 or 20 pound bag of potatoes in their arm all day long. But most women have spent years carrying a 15 or 20 pound baby in their arms, as referred to in today's Old Testament reading. And they're able to carry that baby for hours at a time, much longer than I could ever have carried a baby that long a period of time. I never cease to be amazed how love is able to carry a burden. Because of his great love for us, Jesus carried the burden of our sin on his shoulders all the way to the cross. He carried that load of sin, as we will confess in our creed, for us and for our salvation, so that we might be restored when we sin, restored as the children of God. After I retired from faith here in 2011, we joined Peace Lutheran Church in West Salem. And a few years after that, Pastor Bornstedt retired. And for one full year, we had an interim pastor, Pastor Dan Werspon from Portland. And Pastor Werspon had a neat way of ending his sermons. I wish I'd heard it 45 years ago. He ended every sermon he preached by asking the congregation, now what challenge does this word of God give to you today? As I look at the challenge of this text today, I think this word of God is challenging you and me to do whatever is needed to restore our brothers and sisters who have slid off the road, and to do so in a spirit of gentleness. Because my sins and your sins have been forgiven by Jesus Christ, now the only response I can have toward my brother or sister when they sin is to pass on that same forgiveness to them, the forgiveness I received from Christ. In the power of that forgiveness, You and I can find the strength from God so that, as Paul says, one more time, if anyone is caught in any transgression, we who are spiritual should restore them in the spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and your minds, secure in Christ Jesus through life everlasting. Amen.